be talking about fear this morning, it might be nice to start with some laughter about a family facing a pretty scary situation. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time this morning to open our hearts to hear you. And I pray that the words that come out of my mouth will honor you, and that people will forget the channel, but hear you and know your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like many children, when I was young, I was afraid of the dark. I didn't imagine monsters out there like my sister did. It was just the darkness itself that frightened me. And when I mentioned this to some adults whom I trusted, I was told there's no need to be fearful, which, as you can imagine, didn't help a whole lot. But it did help when I talked to my Grammy, my mom's mom. Grammy was a kindergarten teacher, and she took children's fears seriously. At any age, it helps when you share a vulnerability, like a fear, if the person you are talking to listens, doesn't dismiss it, and simply listens in a non-judgmental way. Remember that the next time somebody shares something from their heart with you. So the next time I saw my Grammy, she said she'd been thinking about what I'd shared, and she wanted to know how things were going for me at nighttime. And then she said, "I've been praying for you." And she shared a verse from Psalm 56:3. "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And she had me repeat it with her a couple of times. "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And then she taught me a little melody so I could sing that verse over and over again. And Grammy suggested that when I felt fearful about anything, whether it was the darkness or something else, that I sing the song. And if I was in a place like school where I couldn't just start to sing out loud, she said, "Just sing it over and over again in your mind." And last of all, she gave me a little glow-in-the-dark cross that I could put on my nightstand or tuck into my pocket so that I could remember, even in darkness, that God is always with me. So I put a few on each table in case you want to take one home. My mom taught me another simple little song, "Safe Am I," which is about when you are in the hollow of God's hand and sheltered with his love, then no ill can harm you and no foe alarm you, because he's keeping you safe day and night. And I must admit that throughout my life, when I've gone through fearful times of darkness, I have often sung those two little songs again and again to remind me of truth. And two other songs that I learned as a child, "Jesus Loves Me" and "He's Got the Whole World in His Hand." I think that when we have fears, all of us become a little child inside. And remembering truth is always the best way to quiet fears of any sort. 1 John 4:18 says, "There's no fear in love, for perfect love drives out or conquers fear." When I first heard this verse, I was pretty discouraged because I thought, I don't have perfect love. So I thought that meant I would always live with fear. But eventually, I learned that the only one who loves perfectly is God, and that my responsibility is simply to invite him into any fearful situation or mindset, and he will be the one to drive out the fear while I am being held securely in his love. Fear is simply a part of human life on this earth. Over the years, I've been in many dangerous situations, and I've had several scary diagnoses. I've also had loved ones in dangerous situations, whether physical, moral, spiritual, or emotional. Sometimes I've even been fearful when there was absolutely no factual basis for that fear, such as a period in our marriage when again and again I was bedeviled, and I use that word on purpose. I was bedeviled again and again with the thought that Jay would find someone else and leave me. Now, there was absolutely no factual basis for this fear. There was no truth in it, but I had to fight it again and again in the same way I faced down other truly dangerous, fearful circumstances. That is, I had to choose to trust that God is always with me, that he loves me, and that I am safe in his care. The thing is, you can't fight fear with logic, nor can you argue your way through it. You simply must stand strong and stubborn on the truth that you know, that God loves and that he never leaves us. I don't know what fears in your life have gripped you, but I know that God's love has the power to loosen that grip on your life. The most common fear that I've heard about as people have shared their stories with me over the years is a deep down fear of being unloved, perhaps even unworthy of love, unlovable. And here are some wise words from Dave Willis in his book, The Seven Laws of Love, that speak to that particular fear. If you're in a place right now where you feel all alone and in your search for love, I want to reassure you that you are loved and you are not alone. God hasn't forgotten about you. He loves you with an eternal love, and he will never leave you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, or what's been done to you, God has a love-filled, redemptive plan for you. And it's amazing how strong and free you can be when you know that you are loved. Hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible, God says, "Do not be afraid, but rather to trust in him and to walk in his ways." One of them is in Isaiah 41:10. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Geneva, my dearly loved mother-in-law, battled migraines most of her life, but otherwise she enjoyed pretty good health. However, as the years mounted up, she eventually began to have some serious health issues, mostly having to do with her heart. Now, Geneva had always, as long as I'd known her, always been full of energy, a very hard worker, and she always had a lively sense of fun. So it was difficult to see her struggling in this unfamiliar, scary territory of ill health. Now I, on the other hand, was quite familiar with living with health setbacks and complications, and the two of us grew even closer as she shared her concerns and fears with me. I would keep her company during our visits as she tried to process how different, how unfamiliar her very body, her life, had become suddenly. Geneva was a woman of strong faith, and so I would pray with her, and I prayed for her as she struggled. Jay's dad decided a couple years into this experience of Geneva's that it would be a good idea for both of them to go on a cruise in Hawaii. They'd always enjoyed being in Hawaii, and he thought she could sit on the balcony of their suite and enjoy the rest and the air and the views while he participated in more active pursuits. He thought, it'll be good for both of us. However, shortly before they left, Geneva called our house, and I assumed she wanted to talk with Jay, her son, but it was me she wanted. She had just had a very frightening experience. The idea had suddenly come into her mind that she would not survive the trip. It would have been no help for me at that time to have made light of her fears, so I just listened and said, until she finished talking. I don't know if we're hearing from Geneva right now. Then we talked about how God promised to always be with us and how he said he will always give us strength to go through whatever lies ahead. We prayed, and then I taught her a little song that a friend of mine had just written, which consisted of the words of Joshua 1:9. I don't have enough confidence as a singer to sing it for you this morning, but I did sing it to Geneva, and then the second time around, she sang with me. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. We're all going to die sometime, Mom, I said. And when it is time for us to go home to Jesus, well, he's going to lead us there. We never know when we're going to face death, but we do know that we can trust him to carry us through death into life with him. That was the last conversation I ever had with Geneva, because she did die on that trip. And when she was airlifted from the ship and then driven in an ambulance to the hospital where she spent her last hours, it was along a road called Road to Paradise. And I am convinced that Jesus was with her all the way. Another story for you. For years over Thanksgiving week, my daughter Mary and her husband Brian would lead high schoolers into Mexico for mission trips. They would rent vans, and the adult leaders would drive groups of the students to different job sites they'd been assigned each day, or into villages where they would put on a show for children that would teach the children about God. One day when they were each returning from their different places and going back to where they were staying, suddenly a bunch of Mexican police roared up, surrounded Brian's van, and told the rest of them to get on down the road. I cannot imagine what it was like for Mary to drive away and leave her husband and the students behind. But she did. She led them up on over a hill and down the other side. And as soon as they were far enough away where they couldn't be seen by the federales, she pulled off the road, and they all parked and got out of the vans and made a big circle and began to pray. They prayed and prayed and prayed fervently. They all had heard stories about how it didn't end well when you were involved with the federales. So they prayed until all the voices were quiet, and then Mary said, "Amen." And over the hill came Brian with the van and all the students. one last story for you. When I was pregnant the first time, my doctor told me that walking a mile a day would make delivery easy. What did I know? I believed him. I was sold. So I, every day after work, I would take our dog out for a one-mile walk that Jay had marked out for us. And months went by, and I, of course, got bigger and bigger and more uncomfortable and ungainly, but I still kept up those daily walks. That was a big incentive. We lived in the Oakland Hills at this time, and there were no sidewalks. So the dog and I just had to keep to the side of the road as cars would drive by. One day it was raining super hard, and I almost bailed. But we went on out, the dog on a leash, and ginormous me looking like a tent out for a stroll in my huge red poncho. We had passed the halfway mark and were heading home when suddenly a van pulled up quite near and the side door slid open and a guy leaned out and said, "Hey, come on, baby, get in out of the rain." I said, "No thanks," and kept on walking. Well, the van rolled along slowly beside me on the wrong side of the road, which was even more fun, and the guy kept crooning his invitation, and I kept shaking my head and walking on. Then the van slowly started crowding me closer and closer to the edge of the road, which, by the way, was on a hill. And the guy suddenly tried to reach out and grab me. And suddenly I began to speak out loud every Bible verse I had ever memorized. The driver and the guy at the door stopped talking. I just kept on going and going, and when I got to the end, I started all over again, and I got louder and louder each time. Suddenly, the door slammed shut. They did a U-turn, and the van roared off away with some very foul remarks from both of the men about the crazy lady. Now, when I had memorized those verses and passages as a child, as a youth, as a young adult, I had never imagined me shouting them out in a rainstorm when confronted by some very real danger posed by two men in a van. Nonetheless, the verses were there. They were hidden in my heart. And when fear came calling, the truth just came pouring out. Hide truth in your heart. If you've never done this before, you might just start today. You could start with one of the verses on your worksheet. Whatever fears beset us, whether based on what's actually going on or based on truths that have been twisted into lies by the evil one, we must choose to trust in God, and we must keep on choosing to trust. We must make that conscious decision and keep on making it to trust in God, to look to him, and not to listen to the fearful thoughts in our minds and not be distracted by the fearful circumstances around us. I could tell you story after story after story from my own life, from my family's life, from my parents and my grandparents, from the Bible, about fearful situations and choosing to trust in God, to lean in faith on him. Sometimes God does rescue in amazing ways, and sometimes really tough stuff still happens. But the biggest truth is that God never leaves us to cope with fear and hard times alone. He's there, and we can trust him that somehow, in ways way beyond our understanding, God is going to use even that tough stuff for good. Right now, I'm going to share two simple but excellent ways to build up your trust muscle in advance so that whenever and however you are tested, you're going to be battle ready. First of all, read truth. As I said, the Bible is full of stories about God telling people to not fear and instead to choose to trust in Him. So pack your mind with stories like this. Mull them over. Let the truth gradually sink down deep into your heart. If you tell me that you have no time to do this, my response is that if your schedule is too full to spend time with God, reading and meditating and praying, it's time to rethink your schedule. I have learned this over and over again in my own life when I have let that discipline slide. There's nothing like this discipline to strengthen you and prepare you. Tough, fearful times are an ongoing part of life, so strengthen your mind and your heart in order to face such times. If you've never read the Bible and you want guidance in where to start, talk with your table leaders, or you can talk with me for suggestions on how to start. I'm also a big fan, as you can tell, of singing truth. I have no stellar musical talent, but I know as a teacher that learning something through words and music locks them into your mind and heart, and it's there for keeps. Secondly, when fears wash over you, dig in your heels and choose to trust God. Mostly, I do this by going deep inside to that quiet center inside of me and repeating truth over and over again as the waves of fear batter away outside. If my house, that is my life, is built on the rock of trusting in a loving and good God, and it is, it's going to stand no matter how fierce the storm. When those sly whispers of doubt and fear come, stand strong and face them with confidence that God loves you and will never leave you. Facing fear, fighting fear, is a battle. Sometimes the wisest thing is to hunker down, keep repeating truth, and just wait for the storm to pass. Sometimes the wisest course to face fear is by drawing out that sword of truth and engaging in battle. Sometimes the wisest thing is to reach out to other faithful, trusted believers in community so that you can all share God's truth together. They can stand with you in your tough times, and you can stand alongside them when they're struggling. Whatever the situation, build up those muscles and sharpen that sword by spending time with God and in His Word. Dig the foundation of your life deeper and deeper every day into that solid rock that is Jesus. Of course, all that I've shared this morning is predicated on a life lived in faith and committed to God. If that's not yet where you are or who you are, and you want that sense of being fully loved and safe in God's care, pray along with me now. In fact, let's all bow our heads. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I don't understand all of this fully, and perhaps I never will. And yet, I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come reign in my heart as my Savior. Fill me with your love in your life and help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God. And thank you, Jesus, that you love all of us completely, even as you know us fully. Thank you that we can trust in you to lead us faithfully through all that lies ahead in our lives, through all of life's challenges and joys. If we follow you, you will carry us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.